Welcome to Econ 91.9, your weekly look at how the peninsula works. I'm Shaywin Cochran. This week, education funding. It's the single biggest expense for the Kenai Peninsula Borough, and paying those costs with current levels of revenue is getting more and more difficult. Last year, the school district ran a deficit of about $2 million. That could be the case again this year, with a projected deficit of at least $1.3 million. The district's fund balance has picked up the slack for several years, being spent down more than $5 million since fiscal year 2013. And if last year's budget debate is any indication, the district shouldn't expect much relief from the borough. Mayor Charlie Pierce vetoed $650,000 last year that would have added counseling and other student support services, and the assembly upheld that veto. Pierce told a joint meeting of the Kenai and Soldotna Chambers of Commerce this week that if schools are going to get more money, the onus is on residents to approve it.
And this is the thing, we flat funded schools for the last 2 years. We're projected to flat fund them again. And we've got a 0.5% inflationary growth funding for schools. You got negotiations going on. And everybody wants more, more, more. They want you to pay more. You need to decide whether you want to do it or not. At some point, you know, you've got some options. We gave the assembly a list of 15 different options as ways to raise additional revenue. Put it on the ballot, see if it passes. If you don't pass it at the ballot box, the mayor has no other choice but to cut expenses. There's no other choices. I'm okay with that. I can live within that and deal with that.
Of course, the assembly can raise revenue on its own, but the typical 5-4 divide on tight issues doesn't usually swing in that direction. However, that won't likely stop the school district from asking for what it thinks it will need to cover costs. The vetoes issued by the mayor last year prevented the school district from investing in more counselors, especially for students in lower grades. Superintendent Sean Dusick says the need for those services isn't going away, and they'll be looking to bring that staff in, even if it means joining with other organizations in the community.
We want to target mental health, but what we're finding is, like PCHS and some of our partners have open positions as well. So we'd be competing with them. So we're trying to work hard with PCHS down in Homer area down there with their mental health departments down there, and also CVU and things like that in Seward. We have to enhance our partnerships because everybody wants the same counselors. And so we're gonna have to share. And how are we gonna make that work?
And especially in the lower grades, Dusick says, the need for mental health services is essential in making sure students are able to focus on the classroom instead of issues at home or elsewhere.
Ideally, we would have at our larger elementary schools a full-time counselor on staff to meet the needs of our students with those ACEs issues and to help our staff address those issues because, like I've said before, if a kid isn't ready to learn, I mean, we got to get them ready to learn first, overcoming either hunger or safety or mental health issues first before they can learn. And sometimes that also impacts the rest of the class. So how do we overcome that so we can move forward with the academics?
The answer to that is unlikely to come from government, either at the state or borough level. And adding to the challenge is ongoing contract negotiations between the district and its employees' unions. Dusick requested regular meetings beginning next month between the borough administration and the district, as were held last year, to work through the budget process. And time for this week's number, 3, as in the number of years the state's current economic recession has lasted. It's also just the 3rd recession in the state's history and the longest. But state economist Neil Fried recently told the nonprofit Resource Development Council that it's not the worst recession in state history. That dubious honor goes to a period in the mid-80s that was also marked by low oil prices. But beginning in 1988, steady job growth was the story for the next 2 decades until the bottom fell out of the national economy in 2008. Modest gains in employment, or at least a leveling off of job losses, has been occurring in key industries like construction, which saw 300 jobs added this year after losing 5 times that many last year. And while the oil industry continues to shed jobs, it's doing so at a slower rate, down 600 this year compared to more than 2,000 job losses in 2017. For Jay Barrett, I'm Shaywin Cochran. Have a great weekend.